This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com.
82 games just flew by for the Carolina Hurricanes. Game number one is sometime this weekend. The NHL just refuses to tell us which half of the weekend. Is it the first half of the weekend, Saturday, or the second half of the weekend, Sunday? NHL, they'll get to it. I mean, just they can't be bothered at this point. They've got other things to deal with. I'm not sure what those are. But anyway, we could talk about the Carolina Hurricanes. We could also talk about the Carolina Panthers based on the ESPN article about Bill Belichick. Wait, is that how do the Panthers play into that? We might even start there with my friend Luke DeCock of the News and Observer, columnist, man about town, and he's going to join us here. And here he is. Hello, Luke. How are you?
I'm good.
Are you still tired from Phoenix in the Final Four?
Yeah, probably. I think it's I've had a little time off, but that was a lot. You know, a lot of people were asking, like, oh, are you going to the Final Four? I was like, well, I was going anyway. Now I have to work.
it was
cool. Very good for business. Probably one of the more memorable ACC tournaments that I've covered. Uh-huh. And then certainly NC State's run through the NCAA tournament. Having a courtside seat to watch Jack Golke beat Kentucky and then stay playing Duke in the regional final. It was all pretty exciting. And then stuck around to watch UConn finish the job in the single most boring fashion possible,
yep,
which is a tribute to the Huskies. So, I'm recovered and ready for some playoff hockey.
Yeah. Before we get to the Panthers, there are a bunch of things I want to get to you. People ask me why they claimed it hyping up. And I'm like, do you understand that NC State is a fan base? They have all this history, and I realize history goes back a long way. And history and programs change. Indiana basketball is no longer carrying college basketball's flag. They're not a flag waver for the college world anymore. Nor is UCLA. That's 50 years ago. And I get State's history goes well back before a lot of people who are listening right now are even born. But that history is still real. And this fan base has been dying for something great. And, man, they had all of it thrown on them. And the women going to a Final Four, beating all the teams they beat to get there. And then the men doing a double, beating Duke and Carolina in Washington at the ACC tournament. And then beating Duke again. It was fun for them. I loved it for State fans. I don't often root necessarily for fans. I usually root against them. But I rooted for those people because they deserve something good.
I mean, I think in this business, you always root for whatever the best story is.
Right.
And State finally winning an ACC tournament, it's a great story. State going to the Final Four in a year when Carolina and Duke were sort of expected to, or at least come close, it's a great story. And I go back to, you know, the whole when Steve Smith said NC State's a basketball school, and people were like reacting to that as if that were some sort of insult. But right, it's not. And I wrote this. There's not a State fan over the age of 30 who wouldn't trade the entire football program lock, stock, and barrel for one more ACC title in basketball or one more Final Four in basketball. And they ended up getting both, and they didn't have to give up the football team to do it. But NC State has always been a basketball school.
Sure.
That is what is in NC State's DNA. So for something like that to happen, really a generational moment for the basketball program and the school in general. And then you throw in the women, which to me, they got the Final Four. They earned the Final Four that they deserved in 2022, and they got absolutely shafted by the NCAA. It's a great story. It's a great story on both fronts. And, you know, obviously the fact that NC State lost to Purdue and NC State lost to South Carolina, although it certainly looked good at halftime, that doesn't really matter in the end.
Right.
This was.
Whoops. Oh, man. It does matter.
Hey, it's Adam Gold, and I'm in studio with my friend Coach Pete DeRuiter with the Capital Financial Advisory Group. Is it ever too soon to seek out you and your expertise?
Really, there's no too soon. It's time to get serious. So if you're 50 or over, we call it the financial red zone. And that's when really it's time for you to take control of your money and make sure you have a firm on your side that's a fiduciary planning firm, which means they take your side at all times. Now, we'll do this for the next 10 of you who call. This is a $1,000 value, but I'm going to waive my planning fee to make sure you get your total retirement plan and you get on the right path for retirement.
Call 888-843-0013, 888-843-0013, or text Adam to 600-700.
Adam Gold is a paid spokesman. Investment advisory services offered by Capital Financial Advisory Group, a North Carolina registered investment advisor.
Luke should not have said it doesn't matter. The gremlins got him. The goblins got him right after that. We'll pick it up with the Panthers, and I will set it up this way. There's a really in-depth article on ESPN.com about why Bill Belichick has not been hired for any of the openings that were there going into this season. We've talked about this before. I think there is one spot that Bill can be the head coach, and that is Dallas. And I won't be surprised in the least if that happens next year after Jerry Jones once again watches Mike McCarthy fall short. That's where I think ultimately this story continue for Belichick. If he coaches anywhere, it'll be there. But tucked inside this, 10,000-word article about Belichick and how it all kind of fell apart with the interview with Arthur Blank of the Falcons, is this line. The Carolina Panthers briefly discussed Belichick before he signed his 2-year extension with New England a year ago, but this offseason, Carolina decided to pass. A source said Panthers owner David Tepper often sifts through data to critique his coach's play calling. And I'll just stop right there. That ain't going to work with Bill. And ultimately, that ain't going to work in any functioning organization. You're the owner. You are not a football guy. That is the problem. Luke, I know you read this, Luke, because you're a smart man. Did you find that as hysterical as I did?
I mean, as I tweeted earlier today, I literally laughed out loud when I got to that point. I mean, this guy, I feel like we've kind of said everything there is to say about David Tepper. He's just a bad owner, and for a lot of reasons. And it's not because he doesn't spend enough money, but, you know, this guy's a bigger message boarder than the lawyers who wrote the Florida State suit against the ACC. I mean, he's just completely lost the plot. And, my argument on the Panthers, I didn't think the Panthers should hire Bill Belichick, but if they did, yeah, I would say it was a positive sign that the owner was finally willing to relinquish control of the operation to someone else, which is what really needs to happen. Is the owner needs to stop micromanaging, needs to stop, you know, nitpicking every decision, needs to sit back in his suite and watch the money roll in, because you can't lose money running an NFL franchise, and right, let the football people do football things, which he has yet to do in the entire time he's owned the team. And really all of the Panthers' bad decisions have his fingerprints on, yep, them. And until that changes, they're going to be a laughing stock. And this is just another day where we wake up and laugh at the Carolina Panthers, the worst franchise in the NFL.
You know, it's interesting because I have drawn this comparison, and the two men basically took over at about the same time with franchises in similar positions. Tom Dundon and David Tepper both assumed control of these franchises. And one of the things about Tom Dundon is that he's had a philosophy. It's been a collaboration philosophy, and he has exercised discipline within that philosophy and hasn't strayed from it, unlike David Tepper, who has exhibited no personal discipline in all of this. And maybe that's why the Carolina Hurricanes are where they are.
Yeah, I mean, you certainly wouldn't say that Tom Dundon is a hands-off owner or
no,
let the hockey people do hockey things. But he's put in place an apparatus where even if he's the ultimate decision maker, they're making decisions from places of, you know, we want to have as much information as possible.
Yeah.
We want to make the smartest decisions possible. They don't get caught up in irrationality. You know, if a guy like Vincent Trocheck or You know, whatever happens with the defenseman this summer, you know, we've crunched the numbers, and, you know, if you think you can do better, go ahead. And that's, to me, that's a lot of what running a professional franchise is these days. Too many owners, and this is not just David Tepper, there's a lot of them, want to run the franchise the way they run their golf club or their yacht club instead of as a business. And you know, a business has two aims. You know, it's to make money and it's to grow. And you grow in professional sports by winning, and then you make money by winning, but doing other things. And the Hurricanes have done both. And you look at every aspect of that organization, from the draft to their player acquisitions, to the trades they make, to their cap management. There are very clear through lines there that explain pretty much every decision. There's very rarely a decision that, if you understand what's going on, doesn't make sense. They're going to trade down and get more draft picks because the marginal value of moving down spots is not as big as the value of having another draft pick. They're going to draft skill over size because other NHL teams overvalue size. And you may have to draft five guys, but you hope you get a Jackson Blake out of it, which is, you know, what's happened. They're going to draft Russian players because NHL teams are scared to draft Russians because they don't know when they're going to be able to come over and the uncertainty about the war and all those things. And they've done that. So they're going to use the cap as a weapon. They're going to keep cap space available so they can weaponize it when necessary, whether that's Patrick Marleau or being able to, you know, make the moves they did for Jake Guentzel and Evgeny Kuznetsov. So these things are, and they've been doing these things since he got there. So it's very easy to understand what the Hurricanes have done and what they're going to do in the future. It doesn't always work, but when you look at the signing of Jake Gardner, which didn't work, it fit all of those criteria. It was a risk on a guy who'd been injured, and they thought they could get him cheaper, and if it panned out, great. You know, in the end, it was the great Tom Dundon, you know, global philosophy beyond hockey, which is, you know, acquire distressed assets. And Jake Gardner was a distressed asset. Didn't work, but neither did the American League of American Football or whatever it was. You're going to take those shots to see what happens. And some of them pan out and some of them don't, but more of them for the Hurricanes have panned out, and that's why they're one of the top two or three teams in the league heading into the playoffs. You look at what the Panthers have done, and it's all over the place. There's no defining philosophy. There's no through line to any of these decisions. They veer from rebuilding to winning now to this to that, and that all comes from the owner. You've got to set that philosophy at the top, and he hasn't. He just doesn't know what he's doing.
All right, a couple of more minutes with Luke Tkach of the News and Observer, who's joining us here on the Adam Gold Show.
Oh, AG, just to follow up where I got cut off.
It's fine.
I could still hear you arguing with me on the screen. We're on the same page here. My point was merely that it didn't matter that NC State lost to Purdue or NC State lost to South Carolina. The point was, going on those kinds of runs is something that hasn't happened in 40 years, and NC State needed it. So, you know, you don't win it all, that's fine. But to win an ACC title, which the women have done a lot lately, the men finally do it, to go to a Final Four, which, you know, neither team had done, that's a big deal. That's a good story. And you know, no one, I'm not rooting for NC State. I don't really care one way or the other. But I love having that story to tell over a four-week period in March.
Yeah, I mean, and getting to a Final Four is a championship in and of itself that I don't think people really sometimes recognize. You've won. You're hanging a banner for going to a Final Four. I'm saying you don't have to win a title, but you are hanging a banner for getting to a Final Four. They measure coaches, you know, nationally by how many Final Fours have you been to. Well, Kevin Keats has won. You know, Wes Moore's got one. Good for both of them. I'm thrilled for both. All right, let me get to...
And to that point, Adam, just to spin it a little further regionally, think how different the narrative is at the end of Mike Krzyzewski's career. If Grayson Allen's layup goes down in 2018 and Zion Williamson gets the ball in 2019, now you're talking about a guy who's been to whatever it is, three Final Fours in 5 years, not a guy who desperately needs to get back to a Final Four for the first time in 7 years in his last season. And what is that? It's one shot, one game, one win. You know, if Duke had gone out in the Sweet 16 one year and the Final Four the other year, they've won the same number of NCAA tournament games, but the narrative is completely different. So, yeah, I'm 100%. Final Fours matter, and they matter greatly.
All right, you and I are going to talk a lot more about the Hurricanes, so I'll ask you one question about them. Give me a player. I've been asked this question a bunch. Give me a player, not, you know, Aho, Guentzel, Jarvis, who you think is key to Carolina making a long, like 28-game run?
Yeah, I mean, I would say the same. I could say the same thing I said last year, which is they need playoff Marty Natchez to be regular season Marty Natchez, which we still haven't seen in the postseason from him yet. But I'll switch it up because I think most people say that. I mean, I think it's what's the difference of having a healthy, fully fit, you know, Andrei Svechnikov in your lineup, which obviously we've talked a lot about what not having him there meant last
right.
year. But he's got to play well, too. You know, it's not just presence, although we certainly saw it, you know, his presence in the Boston series when he laid out Hampus Lindholm. That's not scoring goals or taking shots. But he's got to have a shot that people honor on the power play to open things up for other people. And he's got to make a few goals out of nothing. Because when you look at the Hurricanes eliminations the last 3 years, they were in situations in all three playoffs where they needed to come up with some kind of goal out of nothing. Whether it was Tampa, whether it was the Rangers, whether it was the Panthers, they were in series where they were actually not giving up a ton of offense, but they could not get over the hump. Obviously, goaltending was a huge issue against
sure.
Tampa. They were going to have to outscore the Lightning, and they didn't. But against the Rangers, one or two goals makes a difference. Against the Panthers, one goal would have made all the difference in the world if
yep.
they scored at the right time. So it's not just having Andrei Svechnikov available in the lineup on the ice. He has to be an impact player. He can, but he had to watch last year. We all saw what happened. This year, it's not just sounding the siren for game one. He's got to go out there. And especially as the playoffs go on, assuming the Hurricanes advance, Andrei Svechnikov has to score goals.
Yep.
They have more guys who can do it this year than they did last year. There's no question. And their goaltending is in better shape. So they come into it in a much stronger position than they did a year ago. But Andrei Svechnikov has to score goals. This team is not built to win a Stanley Cup without that. It's not built to win the Stanley Cup without Marty Natchez contributing either. But I think Svechnikov gets his chance now. He's healthy. He's got to make the most of it.
Luke Tkach, News and Observer, at Luke Tkach on Twitter. I'll see you out at the arena at some point this weekend. We just don't know when yet. I'm sure the soon. NHL will get around to it.
Very soon, but not yet.
Thanks, man. I'll talk to you later.
All right, see you, bud.
You got it. Luke Tkach here on the Adam Gold Show.